Well, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, which is one of the shortest books in the New Testament. I thought I'd preach a one-off sermon on Philemon this evening. My plan is to start a series on 1 John, but given that we're away on holiday next week, I thought it made sense to start that when we're back in a couple of weeks' time rather than to start a series now and then have a break next week from it. So I thought this evening we'd do a one-off on the book of Philemon, which perhaps is one of the more neglected books of the New Testament. Just a bit of background before we read it together. Paul writes this letter whilst he's in prison in Rome. And while he's been in prison, he's come into contact with this man called Onesimus. Onesimus is a slave who is on the run. He's run away from his master Philemon because he's committed some wrong. We're not told exactly what the wrong is, but he's committed some misdemeanor. And so he's run away to Rome, thinking that no one would find him there. But in God's good providence, he's come into contact with the Apostle Paul, and through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he has become a Christian. And now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. In many ways, Paul would have liked to have kept hold of Onesimus because he's become a useful servant to him, but he realizes that the right thing to do is to send him back to Philemon, and that's why he writes this letter, in which he appeals to Philemon to receive Onesimus back. That's the purpose of Paul writing this letter. He wants Philemon to receive Onesimus back and to welcome him warmly. And so with that in mind, let us read this book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet, for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Well, please have your Bibles open at the book of Philemon as we go through it this evening. We know that as Christians we ought to forgive one another, that when someone wrongs us, commits some kind of sin against us, we know that we ought to be ready to forgive that person. That's the right thing to do. That's the Christian thing to do. That's what Jesus commands us to do. But it's not always very easy, is it, to forgive someone, particularly if they have hurt you badly, if they've committed some serious wrong against you. It's not always easy to forgive that person, even if they are truly repentant. And I imagine that some of you this evening have been hurt very badly by others. I imagine that some of you have been sinned against in a very serious way, perhaps even by fellow believers, and you find it very hard, if not impossible, to forgive the one who has sinned against you. That's just the reality, isn't it? And Philemon, as we come to study this short letter of Paul's this evening, Philemon is someone who has been wronged, sinned against by Onesimus. As I said in the introduction, we're not told exactly what wrong Onesimus has committed against Philemon. But now, whatever it is, Paul writes to Philemon wanting him to receive Onesimus back. Onesimus, who has run away from his master, ended up coming into contact with Paul, becoming a Christian. Now Paul writes to Philemon and encourages him to receive this fugitive slave back. And he wants him to receive Onesimus back no longer as a slave, as he says in verse 16, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. In other words, he wants Philemon to forgive Onesimus, and to really forgive him, genuinely forgive him from the heart, and be reconciled to him, and treat him now as a beloved brother, no longer as a slave, but as someone who is a fellow believer. And what I want you to see this evening as we go through this letter of Paul's is how Paul seeks to persuade Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Paul could have commanded Philemon to do this, but instead he appeals to him. He seeks to persuade him to forgive Onesimus. He says in verse 8, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. Paul had the apostolic authority to say to Philemon, you must forgive Onesimus, but instead of issuing a command, he instead seeks to persuade Philemon. He seeks to appeal to him. He wants Philemon, you see, to show goodness, not because he has to, but because he wants to. He doesn't want Philemon to receive Onesimus back by compulsion, as he says in verse 14, but of your own free will. I want you to want to forgive Onesimus. And as a result, Paul, rather than issuing some kind of apostolic command, instead seeks to persuade Philemon. And he does so in several ways, and I'm going to go through those now with you this evening. And I think there is much that we can learn and apply to ourselves particularly as we struggle to forgive others. Just note some of the ways in which Paul seeks to persuade Philemon to act graciously and Christianly. Number one, Paul tells Philemon that he thanks God for him. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers." Paul is deeply thankful for Philemon. And why? Why is he so thankful to God for Philemon? Well, it's because of Philemon's love. It's because Philemon is himself a man of love, a Christian man, a man of grace and of goodness. He says in verse 7, "For I," that's Paul, "I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Do you see what Paul is saying there? He is saying, "I have been greatly blessed by you, Philemon. You are a beloved fellow worker. You are a man of love. You have refreshed my heart. You have refreshed the hearts of many saints that meet in your house to worship God." The church, notice, that meets in his house. He is a godly man, Philemon. Possibly also quite a wealthy man. He is a man that has been transformed by the gospel of grace. He refreshes, he revives others by his love. He is a great blessing to the church that meets in his house. And Paul is effectively saying this to him. He's saying, Philemon, you are a man who, by God's grace, loves others, who, by God's grace, refreshes the hearts of others. You are that kind of man. Now, please, refresh my heart. How? By loving Onesimus, by receiving him back. Will you not refresh my heart? And notice also how Paul describes himself. Look at verse 9. He says, "I could command you to do what's required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus." Why does Paul mention the fact that he is now an old man, possibly 60 and above, and no doubt he would have looked older than that, given all that he went through in his life. Why does Paul mention, as an aside almost, that he is an old man who is now in prison? Well, surely he does so because he wants to elicit Philemon's pity and compassion. He wants to, as it were, tug on the heartstrings of Philemon. "Philemon, how can you say no to me, an old man who is dying and decaying, one who is in prison? How can you say no to me?" It's hard, isn't it, to say no to an older person. I remember finding that when I was a young boy and I would fall out with my brother. Most of the time we got on very well, but occasionally we'd fall out. And my grandfather, when he was visiting, if it happened while he was visiting, and he would appeal to me and say, "Come on, get along with your brother." And that was always so effective because I just could not say no to him. There was a certain nobility about him, I suppose, in his old age. You know what that's like, don't you? And that's kind of what Paul is doing here when he says to Philemon, "Look, I'm an old man. I'm in prison. Will you not refresh my heart by receiving back Onesimus?" The second thing that Paul does is call Onesimus my child. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says, "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." Paul, as it were, gave spiritual birth to Onesimus. He became his father in the faith. As as Onesimus came into contact with Paul, Paul would have taught him the gospel. He would have ministered God's truth to him. And through that, by the Spirit, of course, Onesimus came to a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. But it was through the ministry of Paul, you see, that Onesimus was born again. And Paul now yearns for this child of his, this one that has come to faith through his ministry. He yearns for him. He longs for him. He has deep paternal affection for him. He is his spiritual son. He even calls him in verse 12, my very heart. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. And that's an incredibly strong word there. That word conveys a sort of burning intensity of love that Paul feels for Onesimus, his spiritual child, the one that he has, so to speak, begotten, given spiritual birth to. And he is saying to Philemon, will you not welcome home my son? Will you not receive back one who has become so very, very dear and precious to me? I am his father in the faith. Receive him, he says, verse 17. Receive him as you would receive me. Philemon, you would gladly welcome me into your home, wouldn't you? Well, what you would do to me, do to Onesimus. Treat him as if he is me. And there are times, aren't there, when you perhaps welcome someone into your home, someone that you may not know, but you do so because you perhaps know their mother and their father, and you love their parents. Their parents are dear to you. And so you treat their son or their daughter as if you would treat their parents. And that is what Paul is saying here. Onesimus is my child. I love him. I am his father in the faith, Philemon. Will you not therefore receive him just as you would receive me? So Paul seeks to persuade Philemon by telling him that he thanks God for him, by reminding him of his old age and his imprisonment, by calling Onesimus his very own child. And in addition, he also seeks to persuade Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to receive him back by interpreting all that has happened in the light of God's providence. That's what we see in verses 15 and 16. He says, for this perhaps, and I think there he's really saying this is definitely why this thing has happened. It's a kind of understatement. This perhaps is why he, Onesimus, was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Do you see what Paul is saying there to Philemon? He's saying this is all, what has happened is deeply regrettable, and it shouldn't have happened. Onesimus did wrong you. Paul is not excusing what Onesimus did. He's not saying just brush his sin under the carpet and pretend that it didn't happen. No, he's not saying that at all. But he sees it all in terms of the bigger picture of God's control over all things. He sees what's happened as a divinely orchestrated opportunity for Philemon to show the grace of forgiveness to Onesimus. He sees God's hand directing the whole situation for good. That's what he's saying here. Beforehand, Onesimus was useless. He says that, doesn't he? Formerly, he was useless to you. He was a pain. Onesimus wasn't really someone that was very productive by the sounds of it. Perhaps he was always getting on the nerves of other people who worked in Philemon's household. He was a pain. He was useless. He was rebellious. He committed some wrong. Perhaps he stole some of your money, whatever it was. And he ran away. But what happened? What happened? Well, he happened, in inverted commas, he happened to come into contact with Paul. In Rome. I mean, think about it. Onesimus runs away. And where does he go, thinking that no one will ever find him? He goes to the largest city in the world at that time, Rome. Thousands of people, I don't know how many, but a huge city. But who is it that he somehow comes into contact with? A man in prison. The Apostle Paul. And as a result, he becomes a Christian. And he is no longer useless. He's no longer rebellious. He is a useful servant of the Lord, someone who has been transformed by the power of the gospel. That's one of the themes that runs through this letter, how Onesimus himself has been transformed by the power of the grace of God's gospel in Jesus Christ. And you see, Paul is saying to Philemon, do you not see the good hand of God in all of this? Think about the bigger picture. See how God has brought so much good out of so much evil. Isn't he a wonderful, the most wonderful, the most glorious God, controlling all things and bringing so much good out of this evil? Onesimus, who was a rebellious, useless slave who ran away, now he's a Christian, a useful servant of the Lord. Do you see all the good that's come of it according to God's providence? And now Philemon, you have this providentially ordained opportunity to forgive Onesimus and to receive him back as a brother. You wouldn't want to work against the beautiful providence, the way he just weaves everything together for good, would you? You wouldn't want to do that. Surely you want to be a part of the good purposes of God. I heard just this past week, listening to another man's sermon, this wonderful description of what God's providence is like. He said it's a bit like when you see perhaps someone sewing. Maybe you're sitting in the same room and they're sewing on the opposite side. And what is it that you see? You see the back of whatever it is they're sewing. And what does it look like? It just looks like a complete mess, doesn't it? A complete mess. You see all the threads hanging down. And it doesn't look like anything whatsoever. You can't make sense of it at all. But then when they turn it round, you see that they've been weaving together this beautiful picture. And you see the whole point and purpose behind what they've been doing. It would have looked like a complete mess, certainly to Onesimus, as he ran away, a fugitive slave. But it was all part of God's good plan to bring him to Paul, to bring him to living, saving faith. And now he is saying to Philemon, you have this God-given opportunity to show the beauty of God's grace by forgiving this once wayward slave. Paul wasn't asking Philemon to do something easy, but he was saying that he now had the providentially ordained privilege of showing forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard quite often, but try to see it this way. Try to see it as a God-given opportunity to show Christian grace so that love may abound. Try to see your life that way. God rules over your life and your circumstances according to his providence. Try to see the various events of your life, even perhaps especially the very hard, difficult events of your life, as God-given opportunities to show and to extend grace to others. The final thing that Paul does, or at least the final thing that I'm going to mention this evening, as he tries to persuade Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a beloved brother, is to remind Philemon that he himself is a debtor to grace. Verse 18, if he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Paul says, I'm willing to pay Onesimus's debt. I'm willing to pay back whatever it takes. I'll bear the cost. Charge that to my account. I'll do it. But don't forget, Philemon, the debt that you owe to me. Evidently, Paul had not only been instrumental in bringing Onesimus to faith, but also Philemon. Don't forget that it was through me that you also became a Christian. And given how much I have done for you, ministering the word of God to you, so that you now have eternal life, will you not do this very small, by comparison, this very small thing for me? Will you not receive back Onesimus and show to him the grace that you yourself have received? And I am confident that you will do this, he says in verse 21. I am confident of your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than I say, perhaps hinting there at the fact that he was wondering if Philemon would not only graciously receive Onesimus back and free him from being a slave, but maybe even send him back to Paul, given that he had become such a useful servant. He's saying, look, Philemon, you have been forgiven much. You have been forgiven so much. Do you not want to forgive much as well? And is that not the case with you? Is that not the case with me? We have been forgiven so much. Surely we can show forgiveness towards others. And so we see how Paul seeks to reconcile Philemon to Onesimus. Not by apostolic edict. He doesn't say, I command you to do this, although he could. Instead, he does so by a gracious and gentle persuasion. He says, Philemon, I am so thankful to God for you. Refresh my heart by showing love to Onesimus. I'm an old man. I'm in prison. Take pity on me. Please do what I'm asking you to do. Onesimus, he's my child. I love him as a father loves a son. Receive him as you would receive me. Look at the good providence of God overruling all of these events. How he's brought Onesimus to me. And how he's become a Christian and a useful servant of the Lord. Now show grace to him, you who are also a great debtor to grace. That is what Paul is saying. And there's so much pastoral wisdom here, isn't there? You know, sometimes there is a place, I suppose, for issuing a command, an edict. But in a sense, how much more effective is it when you can persuade people gently and tenderly to do what is right? And what you need to understand this evening is that here in these words of Paul to Philemon, Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Paul is, if you like, the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ to you this evening. Jesus does command you to forgive, and we ought to obey him. But you see, there's also a tenderness, a sweetness, a gentleness about Jesus. And he persuades you to forgive others. He, as it were, says to you, I know that it is hard to forgive. It's hard, incredibly difficult to forgive that person who has wronged you in a serious way. And you as it were, don't want anything more to do with them. But have I not forgiven you? Have I not forgiven you so much? Were not all of your sins charged to my account? Did I not pay for your debt in full at the cost of my own blood? Have I not reconciled you to my Father? Given this, refresh my heart by showing grace to others. Take this God-given opportunity to extend mercy and forgiveness to those who have wronged you. Receive them as you would receive me. You see, we do all things for Jesus' sake. We do all for him. We treat others for the sake of, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Not so much for their good, but for the sake of Christ. That is the way to try to view your relationships with others. In a sense, view them as if they are Jesus, if I can say that with all due reverence. Act towards them for the sake of Christ. You see, Jesus is so tender, so gentle towards you. He graciously, gently persuades you to forgive others. And we need to hear this word, because if you spend any length of time in a church, then you are going to get hurt. People will wrong you. People will offend you. People will perhaps sin against you very, very seriously. And that's true of us here at CPC, just as it is for any other church. People will let you down. They will say things which discourage you, even if they don't intend to. These things will happen. That is what life in a church is often like. But the question is, when someone does sin against you, how will you react? Will you simply avoid that person? Will you nurse your grievance? Will you seek revenge? Will you do the Christian thing and forgive? Listen this evening, brothers and sisters. Listen to the sweet persuasion of Jesus here in Philemon. Will you receive others as you would receive him? Will you show grace for Jesus' sake? I pray that we will be this kind of church, a church filled with the sweet, gentle, refreshing grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would know more of how much you have forgiven us, how you have been so very merciful and gracious to us, how all of our sins have been charged to your account. We pray that we would listen to you, to your persuasion, to your appeal, as it were, to be kind and gracious and forgiving towards others. And we pray that we would do all of this for your sake. Amen.